go ahead and preach. Amen. And I tell you, I'm glad when we call on him, we find all the help that we need is right there. Amen. Right on time every time. We're thankful to be in God's house this morning. Thankful for each one of you that's come this way. And I tell you, if many more folks go away, you know, it's going to be me and Deb sitting here having church together. Amen. But I just pray for all that are away, all that are traveling, and just pray for traveling mercies that God brings back. Pray for our sick folks. And you've seen in the bulletin, Brother Jim made mention of it, Brother Gardner Gentry has a great need in their orphanage over in Africa. And Brother Gentry, he don't make no bones about it. He signs his prayer letters, the beggar man. Amen. They have great needs there. They've had a great drought, and what the drought didn't take away, they had great storms come through, torrential rains, and washed everything else away. They're buying food. Their food has went up some 250% from what they were paying, and they have just a tremendous need there. If you read his excerpt from the letter that's in the bulletin this morning, you'll see. And if you would like to be a help, it don't take a whole lot. I think he said like $17 helps them to buy a kilo of corn, and then they have to have it transported. They got the cost of transporting. So if you could afford to spend $20, $25 toward helping them, I know it will go a long way and it will meet a great need. And Brother Gentry, he asks for the things that they need. Amen. And they're not asking for things for themselves. They're just asking for food to be able to feed the orphans there. And as Brother Jim and I was talking, you know, the scarcer the food becomes, then, you know, the more dangerous their situation becomes when they have food. So just pray for their safety. And if you can be a help in any way, just let Brother Jim know. Just give him an offering. Just let him know it's for Brother Gentry. And the address is right in the bulletin. You can send it directly, and you know, try to be a help. And if you know, if God's people will stand up, I know they can find the help needed that they stand in need of. And just continue to pray for our missionaries, and pray especially for Brother Gentry. He's got a lot of health issues, his own self, and they've told him several times not to go back to Africa, but he keeps going. Amen. That's where his heart is, and that's where God has called him to. Amen. And if that's what God's called you to, that's where your heart is. Amen. And if that's where your heart is, that's where you want to be. So just pray for him that God would just do what's needful in his life. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us into Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and chapter number 11. And we just want to preach to you this morning kind of along the lines of what Brother Charles just sung. I was going to sing that song, Help is on the Way, but God just said, you know, you need to preach, amen? And we just want to be obedient unto the Lord. Ask you to pray for us this morning as we do preach. And, you know, we look around this world, we look in our, as we've been saying a lot lately, we look in our own country, and we can see trouble on every hand. We can see the things that are happening. But praise God, I'm glad that help is on the way, amen? Help is there, help is ready, help's available. But praise God, one day the trumpet's going to sound, amen? And one day we're going to be out of here. I'm not looking, I got a fellow that works with me. He's a Jehovah's Witness, and he was telling me the other day, there's a fellow standing at the intersection of 222 and Route 40 in Perryville, and I tell you what, he didn't say nothing. He just had a set of cards made up. I don't know if anybody's seen him, and he said, he had... repent for the Lord's coming today, you know, the whole deal, John 3:16, and then he had the scripture that said, you must be born again, and the old boy looked at me and said, well, I don't believe in that, and, you know, some people are going to inherit heaven, but the Bible says the meek will inherit the earth, and that's where I want to be. Well, that's fine. He can have this old earth if he wants it, amen, and he can have this old world. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen? And that's what I'm looking for. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said he went to prepare one for me. Amen? I don't know about you, but you can have this old earth. I'd rather live where Jesus has went to prepare a place for me. Amen? This old world, world will fade away, and he's looking for the new heavens and the new earth. But praise God, I'm looking forward to the celestial city of God, amen, where the saints of God are going to rule and reign with him to eternity. That's my hope, and that's what I'm looking for. Folks, help is on the way, and I want you to know that this morning. Isaiah chapter 11, if you found it this morning, would you stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. We're going to begin reading in verse number 10 and read to the conclusion of the chapter. The Bible says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Syria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it as the seven streams, and make men to go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day and your blessings. We thank you, Father, for your word and its promises. God, we thank you for the prophecies, Lord, that help us to look forward to the things that you have set in store for us. Help me now, God, as I stand before you people, to surrender myself to your will, Lord, that this feeble vessel that stands before them, God, might be removed, Lord, and in your word, Father, and through your spirit, God, you might be revealed unto them in some way. Lord, just forgive me of anything that would hinder in this service, and help us, Lord, just to be obedient unto your will, unto your word and your spirit as you speak to us, God. As we look to your word today, we praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. In chapter 11, in verse number 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And then in verse number 10, it says, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." And they're talking about a stem and a root shooting out from a stump, from something that has been left over. If you notice, it talks about Jesse. It doesn't talk about David. It talks about David's reign and his kingdom. Again, it went back one generation, and it doesn't extol and it doesn't lift up David, because from whence David came comes also this righteous branch. And we see that David's kingdom has demolished and has disintegrated. It has disappeared from the face of the earth as it was before. We see the lineage of the kings as they have lived after David, but they are no longer what David was and what David's kingdom was. And so David's kingdom and David's righteous reign isn't mentioned here, but Jesse is the one that's mentioned. As we get a picture, and you need to get a picture of what Isaiah is saying and where Isaiah is preaching from, he has seen what has happened to Israel. He has seen what is happening to of Judah. He has heard the word of God as he speaks unto him. He's heard of the coming of the Messiah, of the one who will bring deliverance. He's heard of the prophecies that's coming, and God has given him another vision, and God has given him another promise. In the day of desolation, in the day of destruction, in the day of despair, God wants them to know that help is on the way. And praise God, I'm glad today that as I look around my country, I don't have to look to the rest of the world. I can look right here and see what's happening in America. And I'm thankful today that I can report to you that I can still rejoice because help is on the way. Amen. Help is on the way. 8 times in 40 years, the Assyrian army has invaded Israel and invaded Judah and has come to the walls of Jerusalem to proclaim that they're there to destroy Jerusalem. 8 times as the Assyrian army has passed through the land, they have destroyed the crops. They have destroyed the children, the offspring of God's people. They have destroyed and taken for prey and for a ransom their cattle and their wealth and everything that they had. And they have left behind them a destruction as they had never noticed and had never seen and had never been aware of. The trees were hewn down. That was the thing that you would do in that day when you wanted to utterly destroy people. You would take away all their ability to sustain themselves even after you had withdrawn from the country. And the trees would be chopped down and nothing would be left but a stump. I have an old apple tree up there and I was hoping it had died out, and I seen a little shoot coming out, and I was hoping perhaps that this shoot would grow on up and would take root and would become another tree, but I don't think it's going to. I call it Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. How many are familiar with what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Amen. When Daniel prophesied to him what the Lord had told him, he said, you know, you're going to be the tree that's hewn down, but the stump will be left. Amen. But it'll grow back. Amen. And that's kind of what I was hoping was going to happen. That's what happened when the Assyrian army come through. They hewed down the trees, and a stump would shoot offshoot up and would begin to grow another tree, and would begin to wax strong, and then they would come through the land again, and anything that looked promising, anything that looked like it might be in aid to their enemy, the Assyrian army would hew it down, and they would leave the land desolate. And Isaiah is looking at a country that's in the midst of a desolation, a country that's in the midst of great despair beyond measure. And we look at America today, and I can see that the greatness of America has diminished as a Christian nation from generation to generation. And it seems like we're fading away. It seems like America is falling into the place of despair. We see where our service men, as Brother Jim mentioned in Sunday school this morning in our prayer time, our servicemen in our own country aren't even safe anymore. Amen. It's not a pleasant time to be an American when we think of America past. I think about the America that I grew up in. As a child, I could play in my front yard. Amen. As a child, I could basically go wherever I wanted to go in my community and in my neighborhood. I didn't have to worry. Amen. As a child, I could enjoy freedom like our children today don't know. You can't let your kids out of any yard today without fear that someone's going to come and snatch them away and do them harm. You can't even hardly go anywhere with your children that you don't just keep a tight rein and a tight hold upon them, for you don't know what's going to happen. Our nation is failing and our nation is falling, and as we stand back and we look through the eyes of us older folks who are aware of what America once was and how America once was, and we look through our eyes of remembrance, we can see the desolation that's taking place spiritually in America. Amen. David was a great king, the greatest king that Israel ever knew. So great, in fact, that the Jews have two that they like to proclaim in all that they do. They brag on Abraham and they brag on David. Amen. But David's descendants, his family that was left a continuing reign as promised by God, has been cut off. They're no longer the godly people that David was. They're no longer seeking after righteousness and truth the way that David was. They're no longer people after God's own heart like David was. And now David's kingdom and David's rule and David's legacy has been cut off, and it's been left desolate. And as the people look and see their nation, they see a picture of what has happened to them spiritually as a people. And they begin to despair, and they begin to worry, and they begin to have some true and genuine concern. And I'm afraid that America is going to have to get to the place where Israel and Judah had gotten in their lives, and got to the place where we're in utter despair before we begin to look again to God for the help that we need. God sends Isaiah a word for the people. And he says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." I thank God that in his word, even in the midst of the desolation that we see taking place spiritually in our churches, in our homes, in our communities across America, we still have hope in Jesus. Amen. Hope in the one who'll be raised up an instant. Hope in the one that we can look to and that we can go to and that we can find the help that we need in. In Isaiah 53, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." We're looking for some great shaking. We're looking for some great moving. We're looking for something great to happen. But God said, "Listen." He said, "I'm going to raise you up all the help you need out of something that will seem so insignificant that most people will turn away from it." His name's Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. Look around your church today. How many are clamoring to come find the help they need in Jesus? Our phone rings off the hook sometimes. My phone, I got two cell phones. And people, and let me just say this, if you all got my company cell phone with the 215 number, you need to start deleting that from your phone, because it isn't going to be any good in about a year. But you need to delete that, to start getting that out of your frame of mind. But sometimes I got both my phones going off and the home phone. I get messages and people that are in despair. And when you tell them the help that they need can be found in Jesus, they don't want him. Amen. It's not earth-shaking enough. It's not a contemporary enough. It's not what the world is looking for enough. He said, but there shall be a rod and a stem that will shoot up out of Jesse. And he's going to be the hope of the nations. He's going to be the hope of humanity. And praise God, I'm glad as he was a hope in Isaiah's day, he's still a hope in our day. Amen. And I pray to God that as long as he tarries, I know that he'll be a hope in my children's day. Amen. The world is missing it. Folks, America is missing it. Our government is missing it. We're throwing him out of our lives at the most alarming rate I've seen in my lifetime. We want all vestiges of Christ. We want all vestiges of God as a nation removed from our view when our nation was founded on the principles of God's Word, and we want to take it away when our nation was moved by the hand of God and blessed so tremendously. We want to take him away. We don't want to see him anymore. And he's the hope. Amen. He's the hope for the nation. He's the hope for the individual. He's the hope for the lives that we are living today. As Christians, we realize that he's our only help. Many are here today struggling, dealing with issues in your life. I'm glad he brings help. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. Amen. I'm glad we have some place to go. I'm glad. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. I'm glad they had help. I'm glad we still have help. And the envy also of Ephraim. I'm glad there's help in the Lord. Up in verses 2-5, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Praise God. I'm glad that we are led and we can be directed, and we can find peace. We can find help in the Word of God and by his Spirit. Look at what it says about him in verse number 2. His spiritual nature will reveal himself to us, and the Spirit of God will be upon him, and he'll have the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He's a rightful and a faithful judge. In verses 4 and 5, and faithfulness and righteousness are the things that we see about him. Righteousness speaks about who he is. His faithfulness speaks about how he acts towards us and how he deals with us. And his Spirit has the ability to deal with us. He understands. He's already aware, and he's already able to meet the need that you have, because he spiritually discerns. Before we even asked our prayer request this morning, God already knew what was on our heart. Before we even prayed the prayers that we prayed, God already knew how to meet the need that was in every life. Because he's got that wisdom. He's got that understanding. He's got that knowledge. He's the mighty counselor. I like that. He's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Amen. All these things that the Bible tells us in Isaiah about him are true. Amen. And through his Spirit, He reveals himself unto us to meet our needs and to help us to realize that the help that we need is in him. So insignificant that the world rejects him. Nothing, no comeliness in him. And I like that scripture. I go back to that scripture quite a bit because it reminds me of something. When the world rejects him, they reject him because he's not who they're looking for. Amen. He's not who they're desiring. And friend, let me tell you, they're going to get who they're desiring. They're going to get what they're looking for. And they're not going to be too glad when they get him. Amen. But as long as we have Jesus, we have hope. As long as we have Jesus, we have help. Amen. As long as we have Jesus, we don't have to go this thing alone because we can look to him for that in which we stand in need of. Look at what he says here in verses 13 to 16. And the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. And Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it were to Israel, in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. Our hope is in Jesus. That rod out of the stump don't look so comely, don't look so desirous. Don't look like anything that's going to amount to anything. But look at what he's done. Amen. Look at what he's done. Three rusty nails and an old rugged cross. Amen. He brought more hope to the world than the world has ever known. He brought more hope to the world than the world will ever be able to conceive. With an old rugged cross and three rusty nails and a borrowed tomb which he left empty, he brought more healing to the world than the world was worthy of. He shed his own precious blood upon that old rugged cross. He died. And folks, he died. He didn't swoon. He died. He didn't just faint and pass out. He died, was buried, and rose again, that we might be justified, that we might know that God had received his sacrifice. The blood has been applied to the mercy seat once forever. And now not only do we have hope, now not only do we have help, for where we had no hope, we had no help. We had no hope because we had no help. Amen. But now one has extended himself to us and has made himself available to us that we might find the help for our condition. You know, I'm going to use Sister Tanya for an example. She felt something was wrong in her body. And she went to find help. Amen. And when she went to find help, they told her what her condition was. And when they told her what her condition was, she realized they told her what needed to be done to treat her. And she had hope. Amen. She had hope. There wasn't nothing she could do for her condition herself. But when she found out there was help, praise God, she had hope. When I realized I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to a devil's hell, and praise God, there's nothing I could do for myself. Somebody told me about Jesus. They told me how he left heaven to come and die on an old rugged cross. They told me how he shed his precious blood. Not one drop of blood, but he shed all of his blood that he might save me. He might redeem me. He might help me to overcome the curse of sin. And when I heard that word, that help had come, I knew I had hope. But he says in these verses that he does more than just give us hope and let us know that he's the help. Praise God, he does the healing. Sister Tanya trusted herself to the surgeon. And I was there when the surgeon come out. He said, the cancer that was there, we got it all. The cancer that was there, we went a little further to make sure that there was nothing around it. We took care of all that she needed. We not only give her hope, and we not only told her that healing was available and or the help was available, but praise God, we give her a healing. We took away the disease that was going to destroy her, the disease that could kill her, the disease that could rob her of her life. And praise God, we brought healing. And praise God, she's strengthened today. She's uplifted today. She's been restored today. And praise God, I'm glad that when you come to Jesus, and you realize there's help, and you realize there's hope, you can find healing. And praise God, when you find healing in Jesus, you find out that he don't only partially heals, but praise God, he heals all the way. Amen. Amen. I'm glad the Apostle Paul told the Hebrews, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews personally. Some don't. Amen. But it just sounds to me like Paul when I read the writing. But he said, he saves. Or you could say he heals to the uttermost. Amen. He does it all. He goes all the way. He does the whole thing. Look at what Isaiah told him here, right here in these verses, these last few verses in 13 to 16. Look in verse number 13. He says, the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex him. Praise God, the reproach is removed. Amen. Sin has been taken away. And no longer are they adversaries. No longer are they against one another. But praise God, he's made a healing. And when he has made the healing, this reproach of sin has been removed. In verse number 14, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. Praise God. When God heals and when God changes our life, righteousness begins to rule and righteousness begins to reign. Amen. And sin is not tolerated any longer. in verse number 15. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. Praise God. Sin shall be destroyed. Sin shall be taken away. That thing that was a hindrance, that thing that was a hurt, that thing that caused Israel to fall into sin so many times, I will one day, I tell you what, I have to live with sin. I have to live with the curse of sin. I have to deal with sin every day. But praise God, one day it's going to be taken away. One day he's going to destroy sin forever. In verse 16, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. Hey man, I got news for everybody that thinks they're going to heaven. There's only a remnant of us going to make it. Amen. Man, you talk to everybody in this world, they live like hell. They look like hell. They smell like hell. They act like hell. But they think they're going to die and go to heaven. Amen. But there's a remnant of us that have trusted him. There's a remnant of us that have found hope in that righteous branch. There's a remnant of us that have realized the healing I was in that branch. And when we realized the hope and the healing was there, we realized we didn't need any other help but Jesus. Praise God. And we've trusted him as our Savior. He said, now make a way. John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I'm the way. He'll make a way. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people. Praise God. I'm glad I'm not going to heaven because of my good deeds, because of what I've done, because of who I am. I'm nothing. I deserve nothing. I'm nobody. But praise God, he made a way for me. Amen. When he died on Calvary, he opened the door. A door was hung at Calvary. I like that old song. A door was hung at Calvary. It's standing open wide. I knew it was something like that. Hey, man, I won't even try to finish it because I can't remember it all right now. But a door was hung, a way was made. Amen. For the remnant. Who were the remnant? The ones who God delivered. Who has God delivered in this age? Those that have trusted in his Son. Those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those who have believed that the righteous branch was the hope for the people of Isaiah's time, and they realize that he's still the hope for the people of this time. And have trusted Jesus. Friend, if you haven't trusted Jesus, let me encourage you to trust him. The time was dismal. The days were days of despair. But they found hope and help and healing in Jesus. And he hadn't even come yet. Amen. They were encouraged in Jesus. And he hadn't even been born yet. Hope. Hope is there for all of us to grasp. Hope is there for all of us to see. But you need to see him for who he is and not for who you want him to be. He might just be a root, a rod that springs up. He might not be that mighty tree that you're looking for. But trust me, he is. He might not be the beauty that you're looking for. But trust me, he is. Chapter number 12 goes on. As Isaiah begins to praise God for his deliverance. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name be exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Their hope was in that righteous branch. But it was something to cry out and shout about. It was something to get excited about. Church, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you're a Baptist. I don't care if you was raised this or you was raised that. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have anything to rejoice and shout about. But praise God. Help. Help. Hope. And healing are here today. Brother Jim, Sister Mary.